You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. More than 130 people die every day in the U.S. from overdosing on opioids. That's according to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, a part of the National Institutes of Health. As the opioid epidemic continues, there's growing public awareness of a drug called naloxone, which has the ability to, in many cases, reverse the effects of an opioid overdose. But according to data from the North Carolina Harm Reduction Coalition, even with more awareness, the vast majority of police departments in the U.S. still don't carry that drug. Regina LaBelle is the program director of the Addiction and Public Policy Initiative at Georgetown University's Law School. She has served as chief of staff and senior policy advisor in the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy during the Obama administration. Regina, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me to talk about this important item.
So for people who aren't familiar with it, can you explain naloxone, or also known, I think, as Narcan?
Sure. So Narcan is the brand name, and naloxone is the medication that blocks the effect of opioids, and it reverses the overdose. It's a safe drug if you are if you're not overdosing on opioids, even if you receive naloxone, it won't harm you. It can only help you if you are suffering an overdose.
And we're seeing this more commonly used among first responders, EMTs, some librarians are carrying it. We're seeing it in more and more places around the country, right?
Right. So when I started in the Obama administration in about 2009, this was really when we were starting to see the increase in overdose deaths. And it was very important that we address the issue, particularly at the time in rural areas. And in rural areas, the first responders often are law enforcement. Mm-hmm. So we spent a lot of time. My boss at the time was a former police chief, and he spent a lot of time speaking with his fellow former police chiefs around the country about the importance of carrying naloxone. And we also heard from law enforcement who, you know, they're members of the community, and they saw their community was suffering. And so they really wanted to do something to help. And in particular, it started in Massachusetts with this one law enforcement officer in Quincy, Mass, who said, I want to start this in my community. And he did, and it really took off from there.
That said, there's a lot of impetus to try to get police departments to have Narcan on hand, naloxone on hand, but most don't across the country. What do the numbers look like these days?
Yeah, so, I mean, we have some, it's about 2,500 law enforcement agencies around the country that currently carry. That is not I'm sure, you know, it could be higher than that, but that's kind of a self-report that we have from the best source we have, which is the North Carolina Harm Reduction Coalition. And so some agencies really were first to start carrying, again, particularly in rural areas. In more urban areas where you had a faster emergency response, it wasn't as needed that law enforcement carried in the early stages of the epidemic. Now we are seeing more and more law enforcement agencies take it up. And also, most states have now passed laws that make it easier for, if there's a concern about liability, to protect law enforcement, as well as to expand access through harm reduction facilities and to the public, having it available through pharmacies as well. And that's something in Wisconsin, you can go to a pharmacy and receive naloxone.
Talking to Regina LaBelle from Georgetown University's Law School. She's Program Director of the Addiction and Public Policy Initiative. We're talking about the availability of Narcan, naloxone, for police departments to use to help stop the effects of heroin and other opioid overdoses. I understand that for police departments, Regina, in some cases, the cost of providing naloxone, at least to all of their officers, is prohibitive for some.
Yeah, so certainly, you know, local law enforcement is always stretched for budget dollars. And there are some companies are providing naloxone at a reduced cost for law enforcement. It ranges from about $12 a dose to the nasal spray and $12 a dose For some forms, and it can be about 150 for two doses. So it really depends on the type that you receive. And also, there are lots of grants that are available from the federal government through both Health and Human Services as well as the Department of Justice to help defray those costs. And given the extent of the opioid epidemic, I think that a lot of states and local governments feel that it's really necessary to bear this cost.
How much training does this require for someone, a police officer, or I guess anyone, to administer naloxone?
You know, not much. I think that, you know, for the auto injector is one of the forms that it's the most expensive, although they do defray some of the costs. That one, you basically, it walks you through it. It walks you through the process, and it is very simple. The nasal spray it's pretty simple, too. Most of the time, law enforcement either has someone who comes to a roll call, can do the training and say, here's how you do it, can be about half an hour. It could sometimes be longer, but usually it's half an hour or even less. And there are law enforcement trainings that are available through the Bureau of Justice Assistance in the federal government, and there are others online that are available online as well. Although usually you want someone so you can, you know, have someone answer some questions you might have about opioid addiction generally. But it's a simple process to learn.
Is there resistance in any police departments around the country? And if so, why?
I have heard some concerns raised about this is not a law enforcement's duty. This is really something that that EMTs should be doing, that it's really a public health approach, not a public safety issue. There are also some concerns that are raised about basically having to administer naloxone more than once to the same person. And so those are some of the issues that we've heard raised before. But really, for the most part, law enforcement understands, again, this is a community problem, taking a community solution, and they're an important part of that solution. And they also recognize that it helps in many cases if you save a life. I'll give you an example. A D.C. police officer a couple weeks ago met him 1 week. They had just gotten naloxone. He administered it the next day. He called me the next day and said, what can I do? How can I help this young woman who I saved last night? It was a very heartwarming story, and he obviously was very touched and moved by the opportunity to save a life.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the availability of the overdose drug naloxone to police departments and elsewhere in the United States. Regina LaBelle is with us from Georgetown Law School's Addiction and Public Policy Initiative. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have people in your community started carrying naloxone or keeping it handy? If so, who has it? Police, firefighters, other first responders? Do you have it where you work if you have a publicly accessible institution of some sort? Do you have questions about what is being done around the country, the effectiveness of it? Call 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Tina is with us in Eagle River. Tina, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Tina?
Well, I currently am a American Heart Association trainer certified, and we have adopted training in the use of naloxone, and we train at levels all the way down to the layperson at a factory. I just did it today, actually, training individuals on the use of naloxone at that level, and really haven't met a lot of resistance. Some early concerns when you first start talking about it and doing the training, and then when you assure them that, you know, of the almost no risk of administering the naloxone to somebody who has a suspected overdose, they're more than, you know, willing to learn about it. And the training does take a very short period of time. Out of the 6 hours that we trained today, really 15 minutes of it was spent on the training of naloxone use. And most of that had to do with questions and concerns regarding, you know, how easy it was to do. So I find it very refreshing that people are very interested in helping and being involved even at that level.
And Tina, can I ask, have your students, your trainees, have you heard stories back from them about actually having to use it?
No, we have not. We haven't most of the people that we're training wouldn't keep that in their first aid kit, so we train more to the fact that if you find somebody who has a suspected overdose and you're, you know, going through their things to find out if you could figure out what's going on and you see them in the naloxone, that you would then go ahead and administer it. So we haven't had anybody that currently that reported to us that, and we've been doing it for almost over 2 years now, training with naloxone.
Tina, thank you so much for sharing your experience. So better to have the training and not need it, Regina.
Yeah, it's great. And I love the fact that what Tina said, that, you know, she's with the American Heart Association and is training people on factory floors. And, you know, again, I can't stress enough how this is a community-based solution to this, you know, what appears to be such a huge problem, and it is, but it is something that each one of us can do something about.
Thanks for that call. Jenny joins us now in Wisconsin Rapids. Jenny, hi.
Hi. Yes, hi. I just wanted to share with you real briefly. I am actually a public librarian in central Wisconsin. And this past winter, our library staff plus other city employees were trained in how to administer Narcan, just in case somebody is overdosing in our library. So it's not just police officers. It's not just first responders. It is people who are working with the public every day. And, you know, oftentimes we're dealing with people who have these drug addiction issues. And recently in Wisconsin at the Sheboygan Public Library, a gentleman overdosed and died in the bathroom of their public library. So it is a serious issue. And those who are working with the public are also learning how to deal with it as well.
Jenny, thanks for sharing that story. And I know, anecdotally, Regina, a lot of librarians are contending with this issue of overdoses in their libraries and deciding whether to train their staff on naloxone use.
Right. I mean, you know, we come into contact every day with people who have substance use disorders, and people who have opioid addiction are obviously at risk for overdosing. And librarians are no different than any other, you know, public facing entity. And they're really stepping up across the country to take the issue on.
Thanks a lot for that call. Regina, obviously the ultimate solution would be to prevent addiction in the first place. Are there steps we can do to help prevent overdoses among people with opioid addictions?
Well, I mean, you know, so first of all, we know if you start at the beginning, we try to prevent substance use disorders from ever occurring. And, you know, we know that disease of addiction is a disease of early onset. So, and it usually starts with when you're, you know, a teenager. So certainly prevention is an important part of it. We also know that most people who misuse prescription opioids get them from family and friends. So disposing of prescription opioids, getting them out of your house is an important is another important step. And then, you know, the making sure that we have we're screening people for early signs of substance use, and we're helping people who steer them to addiction treatment as they are ready to do so. And, you know, we don't have enough addiction treatment in this country. Only about 30% of people with opioid use disorders get treatment. And that number is about 10% of people with any type of substance use disorder who get treatment. So we have a long way to go in this country to make sure that we're meeting the needs of the more than 20 million people who have some form of substance use disorder. So again, it's recognizing that this is a disease, of early onset, but it can be treated. And there are many people in this country who are in recovery from a substance use disorder.
And in our last minute or so, Regina, getting back to the naloxone, if someone from a local police department out there is listening and they don't currently have naloxone available for their officers to administer, what would you tell them?
So, well, first of all, I would tell them, great, you should do it. The Bureau of Justice Assistance has some toolkits. There are lots of resources available. I know that the Wisconsin State Patrol now carries naloxone. There are lots of mentors out there who can help around the country. One of the first stops, again, is the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and they have lots of tools that can be used to teach you how to set up such a program in your police department.
We'll leave it there for now. Regina, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Regina LaBelle, Program Director of the Addiction and Public Policy Initiative at Georgetown University's Law School. She's with us today to talk about why the majority of police departments don't have naloxone available and what effect it has when they do. If you have stories like our callers, if you work in training people on naloxone or you are trained in it because of your job, love to hear your story. You can email ideas@wpr.org.